Hey everyone, welcome to Where Art We Now, presented by Unrealistic Projects with your hosts Elizabeth and Ivy, where we'll be navigating the art world through conversations with artists, creatives, and of course each other. Today on our very first episode, we wanted to just kind of give you an idea about who we are, our mission here at Unrealistic Projects, and loosely define what we will be covering in the following weeks. We can't wait for y'all to listen, so let's get started.
So this is the official first episode.
Yay!
I know. Here, we're just going to cover the grounds with what we're doing, why we're doing it, who we even are, all of that good stuff.
Yeah, we just wanted to give context to everyone because I don't know if I'm sure people don't have any clue what we're up to personally, and why we feel like this puts us in sort of a unique position to do what we're doing. But yeah, we just wanted to sort of catch you up to speed and like get ready to join us for the ride. But I guess I want Ivy to sort of go over first, you know, what even Unrealistic Projects is and what, you know, what is our podcast and sort of how that all falls under the umbrella of Unrealistic Projects. Because as we bring this up to our friends, they're always sort of like, oh, you're doing a pod. And we're like, that's one part of it. So I just want, yeah, if Ivy, you want to sort of break that all down and sort of like what our goals are with that.
Yeah, happy to. So Unrealistic Projects is this umbrella kind of home where all of these various projects that we're doing will live. So this, the pod, Where Aren't We Now, is project number one. We wanted this umbrella sort of freedom to not be pigeonholed into doing just one thing indefinitely. I think Elizabeth and I both like to jump around from, you know, conversations to business to design, and a pod isn't the only place for that to be executed. So yeah, you're listening to project number one, basically.
And project number one.
I think it'll make a lot more sense once other projects are released. Right, I know, now, it's just the pod. So people are trying to put things together and they're like, well, why wouldn't it just all be under one name? So when we start recording, all the episodes will say, you know, this is Where Aren't We Now, produced by Unrealistic Projects.
Yay. I'm so glad you clarified that, just so everyone sort of understands. You
know. To be clear, it's for our benefit so that we can do
whatever we want.
Things.
Yeah, oh yeah. This is us being super, all the words I can think of are negative, but inconsistent, but like I think actually this is a great sort of segue into why we're even doing this. And
it's all connected.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So just a little thing that something I will always bring up is I always call Ivy queen of connection, because one of Ivy's favorite things to do is make these really insanely brilliant connections between things I could never imagine, but they are totally valid. So you get ready for that. But I think we're going to have a dictionary as one of our pieces of content, because we have some good old phrases, especially in the art history world. So yeah, in terms of who we are and why we're doing this, and why I said us being kind of all over the place is helpful, is because our backgrounds are kind of different, but kind of similar. And we have very interesting working styles that are also sort of similar, but different, which I think is another reason that kind of brought us together. But Ivy, do you want to go first and sort of, I kind of want to tell them like how we met maybe even first, So yeah, we met.
We went backwards. Yeah, we met at NYU over a Zoom class. It was my second semester at NYU, and we had two classes together. We worked on a literary magazine and a photography class together. And both of these classes were extremely small, like less than five people. It was impossible to not speak to each other often. And finally, I knew initially that I wanted to befriend Elizabeth, not only because I liked her points and what she is saying, but she is the only person in the program that I am in.
I know. So that's kind of like our real connection is Ivy and I are an extremely small program, or it's within our school, within NYU, and she's literally the only other art history and visual culture major that I've ever met within my NYU school. And I immediately, when I heard that, I was like, well, I have to be friends with her, because clearly if she's like as crazy as I am to like take this weird path through NYU and still do art history, then like there's clearly something to this girl. And as she said, we were just in class and I laughed because one day Ivy just DM'd me and she asked me about something I brought up in class. And
I really slid into your DMs.
You actually slid into my DMs, which I think is such a fun friend, like such like a, it's such a Zoomer. It's such a Zoomer friendship thing. Like I cannot. I'm obsessed.
Honestly, this is off topic, but I feel like maybe that will replace the title of like Gen Zers. Like we're now just Zoomers instead of Boomers. But
yeah.
Note, I remember being like really nervous to DM you because I've never done that without like first meeting someone in person. So I was like, and I thought you were very, not that you aren't, but like just from class, I thought you were like very.
You thought I was really serious.
Yes. So I was like, yeah. I am going to message her about the.
You asked me about a Derrida. Like theory I brought up.
Yes, I did.
Which I still love and like is very important to me, but I love that Ivy thought I was some sort of rigid, scary academic person, which of course we are both very scary academic people, I'm sure to some, but for the most part, that's not me at all. So I love that that's like the background. But basically from there, we met in person because I know this sounds crazy, like we met online, but that's like not the case at all. It's just like we met on Zoom school that happened to be online. And we were literally seeing each other twice a week for like 3 hours for months. And then finally we were like, we should have dinner or something, or like coffee or like meet. And we had dinner and literally talked for maybe 7 hours or something, like 5-7 hours, something in that range. And we were kind of creeped out at how similar we were in terms of our backgrounds. And just, I don't know, it immediately felt like, okay, I'm going to be friends with this person. Like there's something, like this was not to be like it's not destiny's a weird word, but like I'm going to be friends with Ivy. Like we're definitely on the same wavelength. And Ivy had already been working on this project, right? You can kind of, you know, fact check me, but Ivy had already been thinking about, you know, she had already started Unrealistic Projects. You know, it was sort of a pipe dream at this. You had already been doing some things. She had already started working with a graphic designer, and was already getting the ideas flowing and the main branding. And she just kind of brought me in, and from there, we've kind of, here we are now, but I want to sort of, Ivy and I, to go through our, just our little short backstories, because I think they're, I don't know, I think it's what makes us unique, because I, like I said, I think we're very different, but very similar, and I feel like a lot of people listening can probably relate to this sort of, I don't want to call it rocky, like path to get where they are currently, at least in their journey with art, or like whatever that means to be involved in art, or like getting to that point. But anyway, Ivy, take it away.
Okay. Yeah, I'll preface it a little bit. I feel really strongly about being transparent in terms of talking about the paths. I remember when we first started talking about them, we were like, oh, whoa. Like, you've even felt, you know, embarrassed about like certain places that you've been in before that were similar to mine. I am from a small town in Florida that I grew up not loving, I'll say, and that's totally fine. And I kind of dabbled in art later towards the end of high school, but I wasn't totally, I guess, sold on the idea that I was an artist or anything, but I liked being in that sort of environment. So I chose to go to art school. I went to SCAD in Savannah, Georgia, which was some other sort of trip that I really do reflect on like pretty fondly, even though I do feel a different kind of way about our education, which we'll get into in other episodes. But yeah, I spent my first year there. I did like the foundational drawing and design classes and decided, you know, I didn't want to commit to one. I didn't know what I was going for, basically. I changed my mind probably 5 different times. And we're talking, these were 10-week quarters. Like, I was there for like less than a year. It was like 30 weeks. And I changed my mind over and over again. I initially went for art history, though. And I unfortunately just had like a terrible first class. Dark room, 8 a.m. Like,
that's, I actually didn't know this. I didn't know you really, really started art history. I didn't know this. That's so interesting that the class, like, on a total spiral. I kind of love that because that's totally typical.
It is. And I felt really bad because my professor was just like this really sweet old man, but
they always are. Those are the exact types that people always talk about being so bored in a dark room and falling asleep. Those are the exact type.
I could not stay awake for the life of me. It was like Khan Academy video after Khan Academy video. And I was like, I hate this. And you know that I'm not an ancient art type of gal. That's not for me. And of course, that's this entire class. And I was just like, wow, I don't know what I was thinking there. I got a C. I was like, I hardly stayed awake long enough to pass that class, which is not my current style of like how I am in school, but that's how much I hated it. So yeah, anyways, decided to leave SCAD. I took a gap year, which I thought would prompt some sort of epiphany. And it came a little after the gap year, you know, it eventually comes. The epiphanies always come. They're just not as like big and in your face as I thought it would be. You know, I thought I would like be on a mountain in California and be like, wow, it's all here, you know? And
I love that.
I really did.
You thought it would be a physical moment. You would feel it or something.
Yes. Like I thought, like at this point in time too, I was like, maybe I'm not even like that artsy. Like maybe I should like try business. And I did. I started my first business when I moved to LA for my gap year. It was like, you know, you haven't heard of it because it didn't work out. And it's really funny because I wanted to do like fashion, which is like, I could not be further removed from that at this time. But
I was gonna say, no, it's not that you're not a fashionable person. It's like, that's not really where you devote your energy to. Like you're much more concerned, I would say, in like general design and branding and graphic. And like, so it's very crazy that like fashion is where you decided to try to put your energy. I find that super.
Isn't it really something? Yeah. I did get a lot like out of that experience. It just like things were not coming together at the time. You know, hindsight is invaluable. But yeah, then I went home to Florida and I was like super defeated and I was 19 and I cried like every day for months. And like, you know, it was the whole big ordeal. I felt like I failed. I felt like I couldn't try again, which was really stupid. I was like a baby, but at the time we've talked about this so much. Like when you're a teen, it's like the weight of the world is like,
you literally think that your life is like, you're the only person on the earth and everything.
It's like every moment.
It's life or death. It's life or death.
Yes. It's all or nothing. Like if something doesn't work out, it's like world crushed. Like you will not see me again. And that's exactly what was happening. Like I was at home. I was mad at the world. I was mad at myself. All of my friends were like living it up in college. I was stuck at home. So like my friends weren't even there. I was just like around my family for 6 whole months, which actually ended up being a good thing. But at the time, I was really not having it. And my family just, you know, was really not thrilled that I hadn't decided on my own to go back to school yet. So they were like, why don't you go take classes at the community college, like just to get these foundational things, which I've always been against the foundational classes, whether it's in a state school or an art school. I think it's a waste of time, but that's, you know, for another day. But I remember being so mad at that too. I was like stuck in these random like community. Like I was pissed. And there's like a lot to that. You know, I was like the child that was projected to do like all of these things. And it just added to this like level of failure. I'm like, I'm in a community college, which is like such a bratty thing now, you know, to think about. But at the time I was like, I'm too good for this. I'm too smart for this. Like, what am I doing here? And that's where I started like learning graphic design. That's where I did all of that actually. And I still use that. A lot of that is still, you know, good and fine. And finally, I moved to New York at the end of 2019. I started going to NYU in 2020. Still haven't stepped foot on campus, but I do.
I feel so bad for you.
There is like a happy ending here. I now live in New
York.
Yes, I like what I go to school for. I love this project. You know, it all came around.
No, it's honestly for the both of us, I think we can say, it'll be very short, but it's
Sorry, that was like,
long-winded. No, it's helpful because it gives people an idea, because you can basically say that I had a very similar journey. I grew up in a small town. I had the same sort of doubts. I had the same sort of going off to college originally, not feeling connected to what I was going to do. Then I did even a small stint at the Glassell School, which is, I told you, connected to the Museum of Fine Arts in Houston. They call it just design. We've talked about this. They called the course just design. And after that, I was completely turned off of art school. I could not believe the way, I don't know. We'll talk about this actually in our next episode, our first interview, but I just could not believe that you even grade people on such concepts that I felt were so free. It turned me off. I was totally like, this is clearly not it. I also thought I was going to maybe do business. I told you during my time off, I worked and I also thought I was going to be in fashion. I thought I was going to have a store. I thought I'm going to, you know, I worked as a, you know, buying for a little bit. I thought I was going to be a buyer. I'll have a boutique. I'll have a store. I'll go to school for business. I'll have a brand or something like that. I went to NYU after being off for a while, and I took, in my first semester, I did take business organization and management, and I did well in the class and I enjoyed it to some extent, but I think you know this about me, but I cannot stand people who are just, everyone was like a bullshit artist, and the best bullshit artist gets the best grade in that class. And I felt like everything I was learning was just a new term for literally the most basic concepts on the planet. I thought, why would I be here and pay money to do this? And, you know, just live. I just felt like that path would make me unhappy. It wasn't that I couldn't do it and I wouldn't be good at it, but I felt like it wasn't for me. So I played with that for a little bit, thinking about it. I started taking art history. And honestly, actually, Ivy didn't mention this, but she said in high school, she had a really like influential art teacher. And I think my influential teacher was actually at NYU, my professor who taught me actually both of my art history surveys, who is so fun and interesting and also an artist and does not teach the way those, you know, old men in a dark room teach, where they just have slides and literally, you know, go on these lectures. They don't ask you anything. You just sit there, you memorize. And then the tests are to regurgitate the information. And I think a lot of people that I talk to, and I think Ivy can also agree, a lot of people, when we tell them we study art history, a lot of people who are, you know, have been in college and had to take an art history course or took it, you know, for fun or whatever, they all say, oh yeah, I remember having to memorize all that stuff. I don't know how you memorize all that. People always.
Well, that's simple. I don't.
It's exactly. Literally what we all people who are actually really in the major, all they want to do is analyze, write, and talk about art, and could not care less about. I think people are more concerned about placing things in a general timeline, being able to say following this is this person. And what, like, I feel that, I don't know, maybe it's our history in general. People are quite weird about years and dates.
I just do not care about years and dates. And it's exactly what you're talking about. If I can place them in order on a timeline, that's good enough for me.
That's honestly more than what most people can do who memorize them, just regurgitate them.
I find this to be true in like most histories, but especially art history, things lead into the next, you know, in terms
of style. Lots of things are reactionary to the previous. And
I think everything is exactly. So, I mean, the dates that go with that, I could not tell you. I've been studying art for years. I have no idea. I am terrible with numbers. Like, that's why that's why I'm in art, you know? Like, if I really wanted to talk numbers all day, I would be somewhere else.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to sort of, Ivy and I, the reason we've come together is because I'm very, very structured. I love structure. I don't feel creative, but I feel attached to be surrounded by art or by creative people. And I think that's why Ivy and I are such a good team, is because Ivy has all that magic and she's like, I need the direction. And I'm very happy to provide it for her.
Yes, if you were not here, it would really be head in the clouds at all times. So that is our yin and yang, pretty much.
I know. I wish they could see our black and white microphones. I love that we just chose these completely without even telling each other.
Exactly. This is just based on personality. But honestly, I don't want you to sell yourself short at all. Like, you also have like the eye for all of these things. Like, to say that you're not creative is not accurate in my mind.
Ivy's being nice, but
I'm not. You know, I'm pretty honest all the time, actually. But this gets into our we're starting this to cover a lot of, we come up with these huge questions when we're talking about art, whether it's stuff that's, you know, of now or of the past. A lot of it still requires a lot of reflection, and we're like, where can we put these really, you know, in-depth conversations? And then it came to the point where we started realizing, you know, the questions that we have and the problems that we have within art and the art world at large, is not just something we're kind of going against alone. It happens to be something that so many artists and creative people
exactly.
and the business people that are in between deal with. And, you know, our kind of hope is, you know, as we talk to people, not only do we get to learn from that, whoever's listening obviously does too, but hopefully together we can just start to come up with some sort of plan of attack, even if it's like, you know, the craziest of schemes. I am really down to see something change if it's like everyone's so affected by these things, which we get into in every podcast. There's, you know, some sort of, it seems like we're all fighting the good fight, you know?
It's true. I think Ivy and I wanted to start this because we always would have these amazing conversations every time we would hang out for literally 7 hours. And it felt like this needed to go out. And when we would even mention it to people, or we would be talking to our friends and we would see these problems arise and we would see them in not even just art, you know, the art industry. I was seeing it sort of, I like to say that our problems that we like to discuss are very, very big picture and can be applied to almost any industry. And I think this is a good time for us to sort of discuss how we're defining art. Yes. And
this is extremely important.
I know. I had told Ivy I thought it would be helpful for us to sort of break down what, because the podcast is called Where Art We Now, and I didn't want to confuse people thinking they were going to come in and it was going to be us, you know, just doing another art history podcast, which there are plenty of them out there, but Ivy and I have not been really satisfied with any of them. We wanted to sort of tap into every creative industry, and we're talking very broadly. I'm literally talking from fine artists to nail artists. I know my friends are going to like laugh when they hear that. They know how obsessed I am, but to a chef, to people who are putting thought and time and energy and are killing it in their industry and everything that, to me, that all feels like art.
And that's all, that's like the connection that I'm trying to make. You know, there is some sort, I mean, you know, I'm not a science person either, but I am just going to make up some facts and say that I'm going to assume there's some part of the brain that lights up like across the board, like with all of these people making something. And a lot of times it's not making something in the traditional sense. You know, we're talking nail artists, you know, like that.
Musicians. Like, I mean,
that it's, you know, it's so broad. Landscapers. I mean, if you are
architect. Oh, yeah.
If you are making something, you clearly have something that I just think is really important. And that's what we're kind of trying to discover, like in these conversations, you know, like, is there a common thread between all of this? I really do think so. But we find out more and more each time, which I love.
I know. I feel like I'm really excited for everyone to hear all of our conversations that we're going to be having this first season with a super wide variety of people who I feel illustrate that there is a connection between all of these industries, which we're trying to put under this term of art. But I'm really excited for y'all to hear the first interview and then to hear our reflections of them every week, because Ivy and I get really excited after the interviews and always are quite giddy because we feel like there's these breakthroughs that we have with our questions. And there's always something that really shines through and feels major.
Yeah, like different, Elizabeth and I talk about this almost every single time we interview someone. We come up with questions beforehand and topics that we would like to cover. And the conversations always go a better way and a different way than what
they're always better.
They're always better than even imagined. And it's true. There is something that comes out of each one just really naturally. And to me, maybe that is the common thread in itself, you know? But yeah, there is a lot to look forward to. And everyone should stay tuned and stick around for all of our interviews. I can't wait until they're out in the world. Elizabeth and I have been sitting on them for some time now.
I know. We're both just so ready to get it out to the world. And we're so excited for y'all to listen and eventually see, you know, what else we'll be doing at Unrealistic Projects. There's a lot coming. We'll keep you updated, of course. I don't know. I just am excited and thankful and happy and ready to get this show on the road. So thanks for listening.
We'll talk to you all real soon.